I'm in my shed, and it feels really good to be back in my shed. I think it's been a while. It must have been at least a couple of weeks since I've spent some quality get down and dirty with my work kind of time in here. Turkey for a week and Sweden for a week and back for a couple of days, and I just come in here to prepare for tomorrow, and I'm off to Paris on the train. I love the train. If I could take the train everywhere, I would always choose it over flying. Not just because of the environmental impact. I feel I can work. I can feel I can stretch out. I feel I'm comfortable. Go the train. If it wasn't for the fact the train is so damned expensive in the UK, I think people would have more of an affinity with thinking train before plane. We'll see. So tomorrow, London to Paris, and I'm going to be talking at the IAB conference, and I'm going to be talking about digital storytelling and the Internet of Things. If I was to tell you a bit about my slides, there's always a bit of a hefty introduction because I really like to kind of add some context, although I think I'm only talking for 20 minutes, which is an absolute nightmare when it comes to me having to cut stuff right down, because there's so much I like to share and it's very difficult for me to speak for short periods of time. Anybody that knows me will tell you that. I'm talking about how I'm not a journalist, I'm a blogger, I guess, or a multitasking communicator or story maker. I mean, there's lots of different things I call myself. About how everybody's blogging at the moment and there's 2 million blog posts written every day. I'll talk a little bit about what reasons were behind me leaving the kind of newspaper world, the daily papers as a photographer, and it was quite interesting that my departure coincided with the huge crash in advertising revenue. And then what I did afterwards when I went to Iraq and took photographs and was a little bit disconcerted by how little kind of exposure those photographs got, even though they're in 3 national newspapers. And then somebody said, why don't you check out this new thing in 2005 called YouTube? And I did, and I suddenly realised that there was a potential for huge reach, providing I didn't want to make any money out of it. But then the money came in different ways. And the money came through people saying, can you teach us how to make a picture show, you know, a photo slideshow, and put it on YouTube out of our photographs. And I learned to diversify. It wasn't until 2008, though, really, that I understood totally the power of social networks that we build around us. And it was only when I kind of suddenly opened up and was a little bit more, I guess, honest about how crap I can be sometimes that I started connecting with people on a more meaningful level, I feel. There's a couple of stories around that, and I question the audience how they're going to build relationships with their communities if they don't open up to them, and how the emotional narrative has become quite a buzzword at the moment. How the internet has kind of turned the mediascape over to us, and when I mean us, I mean not just bloggers, but the readers, listeners, participants, sharers, and how context is very important for people now. Very important so that they can at least filter what's going on. How the mechanisms of the web have a habit of surprising us when people connect and link and mash up and recreate stuff and pass it on way faster than you would ever have a chance of doing so yourself. Talk a little bit about my use of tech and how it's evolved, and the tech's got simpler and simpler as I've wanted to kind of ease my aching back, and how more and more often I'll just use a mobile device now. Not wanting people to underestimate the cameras on our mobile devices, I have a small selection of images that have made national press, and yet people were quite surprised when they hear that they're taken on a mobile phone. Talk about our evolution as bloggers and how we seem to be going down the micro-blogging platform, but at the same time kind of forgetting that all of this is old news in a way. The whole social networking and social media, how we just seem to stick social on the front of stuff. And, you know, we've been social networking since the CB, and we've been you know, well, at least some of us swapping cassette tapes at school were probably podcasting before it was called podcasting. And I kind of find that fascinating, how we get hung up on all these words and terms. My personal toolkit is very different to other people's toolkits, because I focus quite a lot, as I am now, on audio. And I talk about how important audio is to me, because it's lightweight, it's a theatre of the mind. I know that's a cliche, it's intimate, it's less obtrusive, it's multitasking media, people can do other things. And then we get into the Internet of Things, how more things are connected to the internet than people, and we're going to have to find a way of aggregating and filtering a lot of this data to serve the needs that we want from this. Otherwise it's kind of going to be a bit of a waste when you think of how valuable and useful the Internet of Things is, and yet many of us don't think to plug into it.
The ideal day, I guess, would be that I wake up in the morning and my alarm clock went off at the right time, because it had looked in my diary to know when my first meeting was, and had backtracked which ferry I need to get, and therefore which what time I need to get up. The bathroom heater would have been on for half an hour before that time to make the bathroom nice and warm. I'd know that the temperature had been freezing overnight, and therefore that my ice was going to need to be scraped off my car, so I need to leave the house 5 minutes earlier. And then I'd be getting a notification, perhaps an audio announcement in my car as I drive to the ferry, saying, oh, the ferries are running 5 minutes late, so you know, no need to rush, just take your time. All that stuff is being handled by autonomic systems of little agents looking out.
A brief kind of explanation of the Internet of Things. I didn't know that was going to kick in, actually, but now it has. I may as well share it. I talk a little bit about how I am utilising certain data streams, and how, you know, I use Fitbits, and how I use the technology that I'm using, and how I'm sharing that, and how I'm connecting it to other stuff as well. As a kind of a geek blogger, I suppose, data plus time equals stories. And my taking of a narrative and then plugging it into digital content, whether that be video, audio, photos, geographic data, text, is effectively how I tell stories digitally. That's my recipe for digital storytelling. And then I talk about how things are going to get very different very soon in how we blog and how we share, the ability for us to effectively become walking CCTV cameras with devices like the Autographer or the, what's the other one called, Memoto, and the Review. And fascinating when you look at these devices, you know, from 8 to 3 megapixels, and they're continually, 5 megapixels and 3 megapixels, with 8 gigabytes of memory on the whole. And these devices, if you just look at autographer.com or memoto.com, you'll see exactly what I mean. I'm kind of scared of them a little bit, but also fascinated with how this is going to change people's ability to kind of share images without even thinking. No matter where they are, and that is dangerous if you're doing it without thinking. I'm hoping there'll be a lot of ways to kind of plug in and realise the best way to do all of this for everybody's safety and, shall we say, privacy. New law came out today on stalking, and I think this is a good thing for lots of reasons, but one is that we are recognising people's need to have that privacy, and I wonder how that's going to change people's ideas of whether or not we are, you know, we should be allowed to have privacy online, and whether or not we should be in charge of our data online, and whether or not we should be able to extract information when we want to extract that information, rather than just let the corporations kind of use it. Lots of questions there. And then I kind of summarise with obviously mind-blowing realisations, but I wouldn't necessarily want to share all that right now, would I? Need to keep something back for the conference, something back for my presentation, which I imagine is going to be longer than 20 minutes now that I've just tried to summarise and it's taken about 10. So, that's why I'm in the shed, whittling stuff down, thinning it out, and thinking of what is important and what isn't. Not even mentioning or talking about the importance of location-based sharing for today's media makers, and only what a couple of hours ago I tweeted that I was off to Paris tomorrow, and a friend of mine direct messaged me and says, no way, when are you going? I'm there at 6 p.m. And I'm like, oh, I arrive at 6 p.m. Are we on the same train? And we are on the same train. So we're meeting and having drinks on the train, all going to plan, providing we both catch it and there's no hiccups. And that is one of the main reasons why I share stuff like that, because you never know when you're going to have fortuitous, serendipitous moments when you can hook up with a friend and have a drink whilst both travelling in the same direction, unbeknown, not too long before. So that's my day today. I hope your Sunday is whatever you want it to be, and the rest of the week ahead is as exciting as I hope it can be. Mine, I hope, also is, but there will no doubt be moments of ah and as we all should have. Take care.